All right, greetings. This is Limberstone Radio. It's been a two-year hiatus, you can say. All right, so we have Joyce here. Greetings. It's been a while. Hello.
Hi, Ivan. Yes, Joyce Keller. For those folks who have no idea who the heck I am, it's JoyceKeller.com. Thank you, Ivan.
Yeah. Greetings. Yeah. You want to go, you know, whatever you like to go into, you have the floor, as they say.
Oh, thank you very much, Ivan. I was telling you before we went on the air that I'm really, I hate to say it, but I'm a web junkie. I'm also an author of 10 books. I've been on Blog Talk Radio with my own show for about the last 5 or 6 years. And I really know my way around who's doing what and what's going on. And of all the people who are out there delivering a message, you're the best, because it's the highest, it's the clearest, it's the most accurate information out there. So I really do salute you for that. So
thank you.
There are a lot of other good people also, but you really reign supreme. So I mean that sincerely.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
So I wanted to thank you for this opportunity. And also,
thank you.
Say that something really, really bad happened, and it happened to a lot of people. So I want to share this with you. It's a warning, and I almost walked into it, but I saved myself at the last minute when I realized what was going on. I was attempting to secure my website, and I was told by my webmaster that I should contact Norton, Norton Security, and they would protect my website so that no one could change anything or hack into it. Okay, so in an effort to protect my website, I followed up on the number they gave me for Norton Security. Well, somewhere along the line, I was shifted over to a scamming company, which I did not realize. But they said, okay, we owe you $300, which sounded like a good idea to me. I had no idea that anybody owed me anything. But they said, we want to send you $300. At that point, because they had taken over my computer, because they were ostensibly a web protective company, they had full access to my computer. And they said, oh, you know, we see that we owe you $300. Now, my husband passed away, so it's altogether possible that he had paid them before he died. So I said, sure, okay, send it. So pops up on my computer screen as $30,000. Instead of $3,000. So I said, whoa, that's $27,000 too much. You guys have to take it back. And they said, well, we have no way of doing that. I said, well, correct it with technology or do whatever you have to do. I said, well, we can't do that. So I said, well, I'll give you credit on my Visa, or I'll send you a check, or I'll pay you through PayPal. And they said, no, none of those things will work. And they were extremely, seemingly upset. These are all actors. They were crying. They were saying, we're going to lose our job. You know, we gave you $27,000 too much. I mean, they were really preying on my sympathy. And I was starting to feel really bad for them. They said, no, you have to send us $27,000 immediately. I said, the only way, now here's the really tricky part, Ivan. They said, the only way it's going to work so that we don't get in trouble. See, that's the thing.
No.
We're not getting in trouble. Is if you go to CVS or Walgreens and you get a gift card, or you can do it by wire service, then can you immediately go to a drugstore and get a gift card? Now, here's the thing, Ivan. On the back of the gift card, you can only get a gift card up to about $200, but on the back of the gift card, there are little red numbers. Now, those red numbers sends them to $200, but it also gives them complete access to your bank account and to everything that you own, your home, your mortgage, everything. It's complete access. So, I mean, I did not know that. So I said, well, at that point, I started to psychically realize that they were scammers. So I went along with it to see how far I could go. I said, well, look, I don't have a car. I can't go to. They said, well, you can walk. Well, I said, they're closed. This is 6 or 7 o'clock at night. They said, well, you can walk. And I said, they're closed. They said, okay, you have to go the first thing tomorrow. They were really putting pressure on me. So at that point, I said, okay. They said, do you promise not to tell anyone? And do you promise to go first thing tomorrow?
Jeez.
So I said, well, I can't promise you, but I'll do the best I can. I hung up on them, and I called the police. At that point, I called the police, and the police said, we don't want to make out a report because we have thousands and thousands of exactly the same reports.
Yeah.
All this gift card scam is prevalent. So they said, there's no point in making out a report. They said, if you want to make out a report, make out a report, but you're wasting your time and ours. So I said, okay, thank you anyway. So I hung up on the police, and I called my Visa, I called my bank, I canceled everything. Uh-huh. Well, the scammers continued to call me every 5 minutes to make sure I would do this. Uh-huh. And they did this like around the clock starting. I have a record of all of this starting early in the next morning. They were calling me and emailing me and texting me constantly. The police could not help, but Visa was great. My bank was great. Everybody canceled everything. So what I wanted to say to your audience is, even if this was a Norton Security Company. They're supposed to protect me, and instead they were scamming me. So it's terrifying. What's going on now is that people are so desperate and so without conscience that it's like the Wild West. That's all I can tell you. So, Ivan, thank you for letting me get that out. It's been really, this only is in the last 2 days.
Wow.
What really shocked me, what really shocked me is that the police cannot help you.
Yeah, they can take a report. That's about it.
They said, look, we'll take the report, but it won't do any good.
Yeah.
So that was really very shocking to me. But what I wanted to also tell your audience is that they have to be careful about people who are channeling information now. A lot of information is coming out. Most of it is probably correct, but a lot of it is not. So it's a time that people have to use their discernment. Not only with the scam that I just explained to you about how I almost walked right into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, by the way, these people were furious with me. They were crying. They were yelling. They were cursing at me. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Because I would not go along with it. And at a certain point, I just blocked everybody. You know, I had enough of it.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you, Ivan.
Yeah. I mean, Florida, I mean, that call is probably from somewhere else, but Florida has a lot of those type of course, every state has, you know, groups like that. That maybe not exactly, but call centers are just calling everybody and scamming people.
The scamming is unbelievable. Yeah, it really is. Now, I was telling one of my friends in Virginia about this, and she said, oh, everybody in Virginia knows about this. She said, I can't believe you didn't know about it and hang up on them immediately. I said, well, I live in Florida. I really did not know. It took me like 5 minutes to figure it out, which was way too long. So I hope that helps somebody out there. When you were speaking, was it you, Ivan, who was speaking about the Tartarians?
Yeah.
I had never really heard of that. Could you tell us, please, what that is or who they are?
Yeah, it's like it's all over the internet. Yeah, there's like maps of Tartaria, like a civilization. I mean, ancient maps that actually show Tartaria, and it doesn't look like they're fake. I mean, there's too many people talking about it too, but it's like from like they got erased from history. So Tartarians are known to help build some of the cathedrals around the world and other structures. So, and then they just got erased from history, basically.
Yeah.
So it's a strange, nothing's really making much sense of it, but some kind of reset and they just disappeared right before the 20th century? Yeah.
Yes. I love when you speak about cathedrals or about holy places because these places are so revered by most of society, like Notre Dame and places like that. And yet, when you speak about it, you speak about it from a different angle, and you say they were set up in a certain way that was not in keeping with the best good of society. So please excuse me if I ask you about that also. Can you explain that to us?
Oh, yeah, inside the cathedrals don't look very holy. You say they look more, it looked more manipulation than anything else. I mean, even the way the cathedrals are built are so advanced. It's just like it's harnessing energy from the people. It's like it's pulling energy from them. I mean, it doesn't always, I feel like a regular church, like a Baptist church looks less negative. Because these cathedrals are just very, they're like power centers. Yeah, it's very unusual. I mean, you can see the architecture of them. They're just, they're unbelievable.
Yeah, so. I was very surprised. Did you actually go into the damage that was done at Notre Dame?
Did you speak
about that?
Long time ago. Yeah, when it happened, yeah. Yeah, it felt like when that happened, you know, the whole health situation, it feels like it's kind of connected. Like Notre Dame, you know, it just had to fire out of nowhere. Who knows what caused it? But, you know, it's like the energy of it wasn't, you know, it survived all these world wars. And all of a sudden it's on fire. It's like, that's a little strange. So it's like, with that being on fire, it kind of lowered the grid that's manipulating reality. At least it felt like it did. Of course, now we have this whole health situation that occurred. So, you know, it's all just, you know, if all the cathedrals are removed from the planet, you'll probably see a different world, a more positive world.
Yeah,
probably.
You know, I know that there has to be a certain degree of discretion in discussing what you just mentioned about the illness that is prevalent. I know some of it is real, but some of it is not. I think people are waking up. It's a beautiful, I see it as a beautiful thing, Ivan, because it's saying, hey, stop being stupid. Cut it out. How many of those jabs do you actually have before you say, what?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of some countries are letting up on it, but yeah, it's definitely waking people up, at least some people at least. Yeah, definitely pushing it, aren't they? So.
Do you think that it will serve, as I do, that it will serve as a wake-up process where people will be forced to wake up?
I mean, people are dying because of it, so yeah, it is to take it seriously, but... You know, I don't know, it's complicated, but it's, you know, people have to do what they have to do, you know, for work and all that. It's not to feel like it's the end of the world, you know.
If people are forced to do it because of their job, I mean, I personally would not. I would walk away. I'd walk away from my job and, you know, I just wouldn't do it because I don't think anyone has the right to invade my body unless it's my decision to do so. And really, if you think about it, it's really an invasion. They're breaking into your
skin. If the government wants to do something to you, it's like, for your health, that says a lot.
I have a question. Why are we – I started speaking about the immune system like 15 years ago, and then I stepped up my efforts. Even though I'm not a big outdoors person, I very rarely, I'm not so great outside. But all that has to change. We really do need fresh air. We need to take care of our immune system with sunshine and vitamin D. D3, not D2, because that's really synthetic and it's not that good. Mostly of all, even though I'm not a doctor, I do know what keeps me healthy. Know the importance of vitamin C, and people say I drink orange juice, and then I have to smack them for an hour and say, cut it out. Don't tell me about juice. Tell me about actually taking a vitamin C supplement where you know exactly what you're getting, and hopefully your body will use it. A minimum of 3,000 units a day. And they say, isn't that a lot? I say, no. It's not a lot. That's maintenance, right? Just take care of yourself. So those are some – I know this is a little shocking. I actually put my feet in grass. I know those people who know me, you know it's a big deal. So here I am in Florida, and my feet are in the grass. And I'm thinking, I hope there are no snakes. That's all I'm thinking, you know. But I want something natural. I'm going to get in touch with it. And I said, now I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to touch that tree, which is also a very big deal because I was born in New York City. We don't have trees. Mm.
Yeah, we have buildings, though.
Well, we have buildings, you know. So I grew up with cement. So there I am in grass and sunshine and trees, and I feel better. And my immune system, thank God, is perfect, and I haven't been sick. And how are you doing, Ivan? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Yeah, I've been doing a tea, black tea. And
yes.
That's supposed to have a lot of has a lot of stuff to black tea, apparently. I didn't realize it.
It's terrific.
Yeah.
It's great.
You'd be surprised. Yeah, and it's not too expensive, you know, because all these, you know, everyone's pushing all these health products, but... But yeah, I focus on my health a lot. Not always with success, but yeah, that's definitely a big deal.
Yeah, but you look very healthy. Now, if you really wanted to do yourself a really even bigger favor, which I'm sure you know about, for the folks who are listening, ginger powder will really protect your immune system. There are so many things you can do. Okay, I know a lot of people right now who have COVID. When they contact me, I feel like I'm not a doctor, but I'll tell you what I do.
Mm-hmm.
If I get a scratchy throat or I need to protect my immune system, I'll do two things. Mm-hmm. I will gargle with Listerine. Listerine will kill anything in your throat. Do that three times a day. And also use a $2 bottle of saline spray for your nose. Like spray it as far into your nostrils as you can. Put your head back and spray it way back there. That's going to kill anything. It's great. Those two things. So a lot of people who have contacted me through my radio show and whatever have come back from being sick. This whole thing of being put on ventilators, and I don't even know what that's about.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it's going to last. So it's ridiculous. But maybe I also know, and tell me if this is correct, please, Ivan, are a lot of people choosing of their own free will to leave the planet, that they don't want to continue with this?
Yeah, it looks like there's an exit point many are taking right now. Yeah, a lot of people are leaving. It's just, it's many reasons. It's just, it's a doorway and they're taking it. And it's just, you know, the world's kind of weird. It's not, it's almost like the world is, you know, because entertainment's not like what it used to be. I mean, it doesn't seem like it has a soul to it. It's like a lot of the soul has been pulled out of the world. You know, it's creatively, it feels that way. So we're in a strange time.
How is it possible to pull the soul out of the world, which I know is true, but how?
Mm-hmm.
Who would do that? The archons? Or how is that energy?
I guess, archons. It's like, you know how, like, in the 70s and the 60s, even the 80s, you know, music was a big part of life. But, you know, the music nowadays, I don't know, it's just not like what it used to be. So, I mean, not that it needs to be like that, but, you know, it's just the energy of the earth is too slow, flat. I don't know.
Okay.
That's my perspective.
I'm so happy you mentioned that because I think tonight is Super Bowl night. I'm not sure. Is that correct?
That's next week. Glad you brought
next
that
week.
Up.
Okay.
It's next week, yeah.
Okay, I don't know when it is, but right. I'm sure it's next week. So I heard that there's a lot of music that's going to be played at the Super Bowl as part of the entertainment breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the songs, there's a lot of rap music that's going to be part of the Super Bowl. So one of the songs that are going to be played is a song called Police about why you should kill the police.
Oh, geez.
And why you should hate the police, and why you should kill the bitch. I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't have said that, but that's actually part of the song. You know, it's like kill the woman that you're with and kill the police and be abusive. Shoot them and kill them. And I cannot believe that the Super Bowl would have so much in the way of rap music. So I just wanted to squeeze that in. That's very shocking to me.
Yeah, I agreed. Yeah, I had no idea. I haven't been keeping. I know when the Super Bowl is, but I didn't realize they're going to be doing that. Yeah, they're just like a time of confusion right now.
Yeah, I mean, it could change, but this is part of what I know was scheduled to be part of it. So that was very shocking to me. But I'm going to be paying attention. I'm going to try to see if they actually do that. Now, you mentioned psychotronic. Is that right? Did you say that?
Say that again?
Did you just say psychotronic?
No.
I don't
know what that word means.
I don't know what that is either.
No, you must have heard it from somewhere.
I don't know, but that sounds very intriguing. I said, oh, he's going to tell me something else I don't know. Okay,
yeah.
So I wanted to say, okay, I'm just picking up now on what the psychotronic energy is. It has to do with our energy fields. For instance, I don't know if you do this or not, but we're supposed to be sleeping with our heads to the north and our feet to the south to get more in sync with what's going on in the universe. I mean, do you believe that to be true?
For some people, I believe so. I don't think everybody has to do that, but some people definitely. Interesting. I didn't know about that. I think that's how I sleep. I sleep like that. And I'm here enjoying.
You're just naturally right.
what can I say? I have to look that up. Yeah, I have to check that. But I think so. That's fine.
Okay, that's really
good. It wasn't
good.
Like that before.
I think you know a lot instinctively. Now, you started doing this work, you said, in 2015. Is that correct?
Yeah, in March.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I have to ask you, I've always been meaning to ask you this. Before that time, were you into this at all? Or were you always metaphysical?
Well, it probably was, but it's like, in 2011 I had my awakening. And I saw guides, I saw spirit guides for a little bit. And I didn't know what to do with it. And I didn't really have anybody to train me on what to do without having an entity that's dark attach itself to me. So I just wasn't ready, I didn't know how to protect myself. So in 2014, if I have the years right anymore, I had to actually energy come, like a spirit guide said, you need to do this psychic work full time. It's like, okay, how does one do that? I think it was around 2013, actually. I just felt it. So I found a psychic circle, and I joined that. And I forget the dates now. I have to look it up. But either way, and I was part of the circle, and they said I can read people. So I came more confident of my intuitive connection. So, and then I end up leaving that group because it got kind of drama. The thing about spiritual groups, they can become kind of cliquey, but it was time to leave anyway. And I learned from a Native American a lot of my stuff, just basically become more confident about it and about crystals. I didn't know anything about crystals. And actually, I went to writing. I wrote a book, a fiction book, and then I got directed towards channeling alien. I found it online. It's like I got directed, like I was at work minding my own business, and I heard the word reptilian channeling. So I looked it up online. It's like, why was I thinking this before? It's like, so I kind of just, I started investigating it more and see if I can do it. It's like I tapped into aliens and their energy, like you tap into a person. And so, yeah, I just kind of got led to this direction. I wasn't looking for it. Let's put it that way. Yeah, so.
So it's just, so you really had the complete unfoldment, is that right? In March of 2015. That's
yeah,
when it's working.
Like,
and they said.
Yeah, that's how I challenged Zeta Gray. Yeah, I just, it's funny, I wasn't looking for March 15th. I found an auto recording of how to channel, and I just followed it on, just happened to be on March 15th, yeah.
That is so strange. Well, you know what? My mother was a medium, and I thought it was very normal. But she said to me, this is not normal. Now it's becoming much more normal, but at that time it wasn't normal. She said, you're going to be starting kindergarten. She said, I don't want you to be in trouble. She said, don't say anything. Don't speak to anybody. Just go to kindergarten, play with the blocks, and come home, okay? So
funny.
I started my first day in kindergarten, and I immediately had a message from one of my guides who said to me, you have to call your teacher over, and you have to tell her to go home because her mother is very sick. So I said, that doesn't seem like a good idea. So they said, no. You have to call your kindergarten teacher over here and tell her she has to go home now because her mother's very sick. So they were insistent upon it. So I called her over. I raised my hand, and she came over eventually, and she said, this better be good, because if it's not, you're going to spend your whole life in the principal's office.
So
I said to her, Ms. Harris, we remember these things. I said, Ms. Harris, you have to go home. Your mother's very sick. So she knelt down next to me. She said, listen to me. Speak again, ever. You're going to be in a lot of trouble. I said, okay. So I was quiet. The second day of kindergarten, she comes in again to hold it in person. She comes over to me, and she kneels down. I said, oh, now I'm really in trouble. So she kneels down. She takes my hand, and she says, Joyce, remember yesterday when you told me to go home and my mommy was ill? I said, I shook my head. I said, no, I don't remember that. She said, at that very moment, my mother had a heart attack and was going into an ambulance and was calling my name. She said, how did you know that? I don't know. I'm only five. So she said, I have to ask you a question. I didn't even answer her. She said, am I ever getting married?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. I'm only five. She wants a reading. She wants a reading from me. Then as I got to be older, I didn't tell anybody. All my years through high school and college, I never spoke to anyone about anything metaphysical. So I stayed out of trouble. And although I knew what was going on, but when I was still living at home, I was about 16, one night I was sleeping and minding my own business on a very cold night. We were living on Long Island, and one of my guides came to me and said, Joyce, you have to get up now. And I said, no. And they said, okay, we'll tell you a little bit louder. It's 3 o'clock in the it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You have to get up now. And you have to go downstairs to the basement. And I said, I never go down to the basement because it's cold and creepy, and I would never do that. And they said, okay, we're going to tell you for the third time. And they said, it's so loud, I got up. And they said, okay, now stand up, put on your slippers, put on your robe as quickly as possible, and we'll go downstairs with you. Of course, there was nobody there. We'll go downstairs with you to the basement. I said, why do I have to go to the basement at 3 o'clock in the morning? They said, come on, we'll go down with you. So I open the basement door. It's dark and it's creepy. But I go to, they're making me go downstairs. And I said, okay, I'm in the basement now. It's dark. It's cold. And they said, okay, now go over to the oil burner. I said, okay, over to the oil burner. And they said, what do you see on top of the oil burner? I see a pipe. What do you see on top of the pipe on top of the oil burner? I said, there's a rag. And they said, what kind of a rag is it? I said, it's an oily rag, and it's starting to smoke.
Oh, wow.
They should take the rag very carefully, reach up and get the rag, and bring it upstairs, put it outside. So by that time, my father was at the top of the stairs, and he said, excuse me, what are you doing down there? So I said, Daddy, this rag is smoking. He said, the oil man who delivered oil today left his oil rag on the top of the oil burner.
Wow.
My father said, give me that rag. And he took it and he ran with it outside. And he looked over his shoulder. He said, how did you know that? I'm going back to sleep. But I had a million experiences. I know you must have had experiences like that too. That is so strange that you say your guides help you, and they have to help you. But then, of course, you could say, well, you know, why did my son die? Why does this person have that accident? I don't believe in accidents. I don't believe anything happens without a reason. So I'm sure you have many of your own strange experiences like that.
What was strange for me? I can't remember any right now. I can't remember off the top of my head. Other than what I already told you.
Okay. One night, again, I was sleeping on Long Island. I was about 15. And I was just a regular kid sleeping. And again, one of my angels said to me, you have to get up. I said, oh, no. I have to get up. They said, yes, you have to get up and you have to walk to your window. So I get up. I knew by then, you know, but I have had so many strange experiences. I know that I should not argue. So I get up and I'm standing up and they said, okay, go over to the window. I said, go over to the window. They said, open your window. So I opened the window and they said, what do you see? I said, oh my goodness, it's a man on a ladder climbing up a ladder to my window. So they said, okay, shout out very loud. What are you doing? So I shouted out so loud, what are you doing? This man must have had a heart attack, but he ran down from the ladder and he ran away. So again, my father is standing at my bedroom door and he says, I'm sorry. Why are you shouting in the middle of the night? I said, because there was a man outside my window with a ladder. He was climbing up the ladder. So my father looks out the window. He says, oh my God. It's my ladder. I had taken my father's ladder out of the garage, and you know, so he called the police. But
was that a fan of yours or something?
I was only 15. I had no fans. I was 15. I was just a kid. He was coming in to break in, and who knows what he was going to do? I don't know. But it wasn't for a good reason.
Yeah, so, Rob. Apparently, wow. Jeez.
My father
asked.
My God, you're always waking me up.
It's funny. It's funny how he's always there.
Yeah,
they must be waking him up too.
My father. Yeah. My father. It's so funny. My father was a pharmacist, and I grew up in his pharmacy. I loved the smell of drugs, and I loved. He was one of these old fashioned apothecarists. They would compound what you needed from. For whatever you needed. They were like the family doctor. So I was so in love with this whole process of healing. I love healing so much. So I said to him, oh, Daddy, this is like the greatest thing in the world. And he said to me, he looked right at me. Again, about 6 years old. He said, I'm going to tell you this just one time. He said, all drugs have side effects. He said, do not become so enamored with drugs that you don't know really what you're dealing with. He said, they're wonderful, but you have to be very, very careful. He said, you can't just take drugs. So he's giving me a whole big lecture. I'm just sitting there and listening to him. But I love the smell of everything that he was using. And he was always rolling out suppositories. He would take glycerin and roll it out on wax paper, and he would go back and forth with his hands until it was like a long stream of glycerin. Then he would cut it up into little suppositories. So one day I was peering over the counter. He said, you know, you're not supposed to be back here. He said, it's against the law for you to be here.
No,
I was watching him make, suppositories. And I said to him, what are those for? And he said, go ask your mother. Go ask your mother. What are suppositories for? And so I asked my mother, and she said, go ask your father. So that's how I grew up. Basically,
funny.
I'm an idiot.
That's
so
funny.
I just love what drugs can do, but now the pharmaceutical companies have basically destroyed what could have been a great thing. And they have sent so many people off on the wrong path. And then you have people like Fauci, who should have been arrested a long time ago, you know, it's like, and all the minions who work with him. So do you see, I did not see him ever being replaced, but do you see that they will ever get rid of this man?
Maybe next year. I mean, he's part of the agenda, so he's their puppet. So, and they pay him well because he's selling the agenda so well. So when this is over, he'll go away.
I mean, I don't think it's going to last. I don't see this. It's going to become like the head cold of the year, you know.
It's propaganda now at this point, yeah.
I think one thing that no one mentions is that Dr. Fauci's wife is very prominent in the, I don't know what her title is, but she's part of the head of the pharmaceutical industry. So when he goes home at night, he has to toe the line. He has his wife who earns even more money than he does. And she's so powerful.
Wow.
And, you know. So there's a lot that nobody talks about. And if you put it out on Facebook, like I do all the time, all these messages I have, why do I waste my time, Ivan? They're taken down completely, immediately.
Well, you're putting your truth out there. I mean, you're still on Facebook, so that says something.
Yeah, because I'm careful. Yesterday, I tried to put on maybe 10 times out onto Facebook about this whole gift card thing,
mm-hmm.
and they took it down every single time. I tried to warn people not. Yeah.
It feels like they thought it was a scam. At least that the bot is thinking that. Something like that.
I don't know how to get around it. I tried all different kinds of words, and I couldn't get around not using the word scam or not saying gift card, but I wanted people to be protected, and they kept taking it down, so I couldn't get around it.
Well,
but
Facebook has
Facebook
a bunch
anyway.
They have a lot of scams on Facebook as it is.
I know, but, you know, I'm doing some – I do only good work like you do. Did you ever try ayahuasca?
No. Not. I think I came close to it. I could have, but no, not yet. I'm not in those crowds. Have you?
Yeah. No.
Really?
No, basically no one speaks to me unless they want something. You know, it's like they want a reading or they want to know where my books are.
So fine.
I keep a low profile. I don't do anything experimental. And I know that people who use ayahuasca have extraordinary experiences, but they're breaking through a protective shield that we might need. You know, it's like I don't really know what's happening to human consciousness, so I think I better not do that.
Some people need to experience it. Yeah, but yeah, this like mushrooms. It's kind of like a cheat, a spiritual cheat, you know. But it gets people to understand those realities. But they do get addicted to it. Some people can.
Yeah. So. Now, if they're addicted to it, which many people are, any of the substances, whether it's ayahuasca, mushrooms, or marijuana, or other substances, do you have any kind of knowledge about anything that we don't know that would be helpful? Is there anything people can do? Sometimes spirit will interfere and say, you've smoked your last cigarette. You smoke one more cigarette, and you're going to be very sorry. Sometimes angels will speak to us that way. But for those people who haven't had that kind of intervention, do you have any – I'm also a certified hypnotherapist, so I can help people that way, but I don't do too much of that. But aside from the hypnotherapy, is there anything – you can recommend for people who are addicted to marijuana especially or cocaine?
Well, first off, they have to want to quit, as you know. Replace it with – it's almost like – I hate to say it. Replace it with another addiction. But maybe like if you're addicted to drinking, like tea or coffee, coffee's not the best either. Well, it has its – if you get addicted to coffee, but at least – like coffee is a good supplement for alcohol, and even weed, you can even at marijuana, you can say, you know,
yes.
Marijuana's a little bit tricky, but
It is tricky.
You know,
it's very strange. And now it's medically prescribed, so it's extra tricky. But if
yeah.
I may I tell you about my one experience with cocaine?
Sure. Oh.
Okay. I always have allergies. I'm allergic to everything. Sunshine, grass, trees, everything good. It's just sinuses. You can hear it now, but it's just mostly sinus congestion. So I was living on Long Island at the time, and I was really, really congested. So I went to a Chinese doctor. I love Chinese medicine,
mm-hmm.
and I love anything from China or anything Indian, like anything other than American medicine is great. So
yeah, I understand.
Without side effects. So
yeah.
I go to a Chinese doctor on Long Island, and I say, I'm very congested. And he says to me, no problem, no problem. He says, put your head back. So I put my head back, and he takes a long swab, he dips it in something, and he puts it first in one nostril, and he puts it in the other nostril. He says, relax, relax, relax. You know, he says, don't get up in 5 minutes. He says, okay, now you can go home. So I looked at him. I said, I feel really good. I feel really great. I can't even tell you how good I feel. I'm breathing. I feel terrific. I really feel good. So that lasted for a long time. I felt really, really good, and I could breathe easily. Mm-hmm. So about 3 or 4 months passed. I started becoming congested again. So I think I'll go back again.
Mm-hmm.
So I go back to the same Chinese doctor again, and he's sitting on his front steps with his head in his hands. So I said to him, what's wrong? Why aren't we going inside? He said, I lost my license. Why did you lose your license? He said, because I was using cocaine. He said, so many people loved it. They felt so great. He says,
so funny.
You know, he said, I can't do that. I can't do that anymore. That was my only experience with drugs.
That's hilarious.
Great,
that's like the drug of the spirit world. Because a long time ago, I had this spirit world. It felt like it was cocaine.
Now, how does it work? What did you feel? Why were you using cocaine? Tell me everything.
Oh, I wasn't using cocaine, but when I meditated, this is when I first started opening up, I would connect to the spirit world, and I felt like, I guess I read it somewhere, that was like drugs. So when I would meditate, I would feel, I picked up that the spirit world felt like it was on drugs. It felt like it was high on cocaine.
Wow.
Everybody's so happy. Yeah, I just felt it through a meditation. Yeah, I didn't actually take it, no.
No, my primary... being in the spirit world is great, and one of my primary, I don't know if you would call it indulgences, if you can call it, my only indulgence, it's actually the only indulgence I have, is going online and reading or watching about near-death experiences,
mm-hmm.
about, you're talking about feeling high. It's when you connect with spirit. Like if you go to any, just put in near-death experiences, folks, if you're just listening to this, and a million will come up. People are starting to come out of the woodwork saying, oh, yes, I had this experience where I died on the operating table or, you know, in the woods when I lost my finger or whatever happened. And I went out of my body. I looked back and I said, oh, look, there's a body down there that's bleeding or whatever. Who cares? And you just don't even care about your body. And you go into this realm of beauty, and you have guides who are welcoming you. Some people have bad experiences, but that's a different show. For the most part, they go into a glorious realm. Well, and you have music, and everybody says, oh, look, there's my uncle, there's my mother, there's my father. It's like a great welcoming committee. And then at a certain point, a guide will say, would you like to see what you've done with your life so far? And you say, not really. Not really. I don't really want to know. And they say, no, I think it's time for you to go into this room where you're going to see exactly what has been going on for the last 30 or 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll show you wonderful things that you did and bad things that you did. All those things you thought nobody was watching. It's all being recorded, and it's all part of your soul memory. all in there, every last little detail. And people don't necessarily know that. But the people who were atheists, even, even the most hardened atheist will say, I had this incredible experience where I saw my life with you. Yeah, it's hilarious, really. You know, so amazing. And they see things that they never... They would think nobody was watching all the good things that you did. Like you gave somebody a dollar who was hungry, you know, it's like, or whatever. So all of that's in the soul memory. It goes back millions of years, possibly, in other dimensions. Ivan, I love when you speak about other dimensions because people think it's just the earth. And it's so layered and layered and layered to infinity, right? I mean, it's like.
Pretty much. Yeah, it's hard for us to process just another reality when there's like, like you say, infinity. Good luck on catching up on that or logging all of it. Yeah,
you know,
we all come from different places, so it's.
I remember you said that yesterday. Didn't you just say that?
Probably.
I
don't remember.
Yeah, it was about. 7 o'clock or so yesterday, I think you said that. I had an extraordinary experience that I really wanted to share with your audience, if it's okay.
Sure. Yeah.
One of the most amazing experiences. I had never heard the word Arcturian. It was about 2017. I was still living in New Jersey, and my husband had just passed away in 2015. So I was in the process of moving to Florida. And my daughter and I were sleeping on the floor because all our furniture was already on its way to Florida. Mm-hmm. So my daughter Elaine and I are sleeping on the floor, and we're on the Hudson River. It's an apartment over by water, just so you have an idea of where we were in New Jersey, New York skyline, really nice. And I guess it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. Again, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I was sleeping. And I received the message of go out of body and take your daughter with you and go out onto the deck. This is why I'm mentioning the river. It was out over the Hudson River, a little deck. It was about 8 feet wide, small deck. And they said, take your daughter. And it's not physical. I don't know how to explain it. Is there a word, Ivan, that it's astral, I guess, your astral body? Is that correct?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, astral body. So I was out of body. Both of us are physically sleeping on the floor, but I take my daughter with me.
Wow.
Yeah. And we go out on the deck, and they said, you see that little tiny light in the sky, a little pinhole light? It's a very dark night. It's a little tiny pinhole, little tiny white light you couldn't even see. They said, watch this light. And in about 3 seconds, it was exactly the size of my 8-foot deck. They had brought down a light that was precisely the size of the deck. It was from side to side, and it was blinding, yet it was comfortable. It could not see a thing. And they said, Joyce, we're not interested in talking with you because we've already done that. We want your daughter. I said, you're not going to take her. And they said, we're not taking her. We just want to talk with her. So I was holding, she was the same height I am, 5'7". Mm-hmm. So I was holding on to her, and I had my arm wrapped around her shoulders. And I said, go ahead, talk to her. And they spoke to her telepathically for about 10 or 15 minutes. They said, thank you. And they closed the light, and they were gone, a pinhole in the sky. And we both went back to sleep. And the next day I said to her, and they introduced themselves as the Arcturians. It was the first time I heard that word. I couldn't even remember it. I had to actually write it down because it was such an unusual word. And the next day I said to her, Elaine, do you remember what happened last night during the night? She said, no. I said, how could she not remember? Well, I think under hypnosis she would probably remember, but I told her about it, and then she started to have little glimpses of memory as we both wrote down Arcturian and whatever else bring out. So now my daughter and I do a radio show called Here Come the Arcturians.
No funny.
So Yeah, so I did that show with her. And I think she's changing the name because she said people can't remember the word Arcturian. So I did that. I don't care what you call it. So I've had so many experiences since then. And I got, mostly, you're my best teacher. I absolutely love your teachings because I learned about the Pleiadians and of all the different energies. I mean, you're such a good teacher, Ivan.
That's good to know. No.
They don't tell you?
I don't get much feedback usually, unless I read the comments on the, which I don't do much of on YouTube.
Well,
I should,
Ivan,
but
I think, well, it could be that people are still holding on to the third dimension.
Yeah.
And they don't want to let
definitely.
Go of their life. You know, that's the problem. That's why you don't have people contacting you and telling you how wonderful you are as much as I do.
Yeah, I get it every now and then. Yeah, I get gratitude every... I mean, I just keep going. I don't think about that too much. I just keep doing what I'm doing, not worry about it too much. So
I love that about you. You don't have any... That's great. That's great.
Yeah, just...
You don't have any...
Yeah, I don't know what the end game is, but
that's okay.
I just keep going like I'm doing this again. I just got like I got a feeling of just going back to this, and it just felt right. So here we are.
Well, it's terrific. It's great because I'm going to tell you that writing. I don't know if you started writing your book or two books or whatever you have.
I'm working on that. Yeah.
I thought I heard you mention something about a book.
Yep.
That's extremely important to you.
Yeah.
And it will help you.
Well, I wrote one book out of a couple of years, so I started hunkering down on it, so I sent that to a publisher. Who knows where? I'm still waiting back on that. I don't know if they're going to take it or not. So I'm working on another book, but I don't know. Just I've been concentrating on it so much, it feels like I need to concentrate on other things too, like this. So,
Ivan, I don't know what to tell you other than you're so advanced that people, for the most part, haven't caught up with you yet, including publishers. Seriously,
guess so.
I know. Really, I'm really very much in the same boat. I think maybe if the publisher will publish it, that's terrific. That will take about a year, and they'll beat it up.
Geez.
You won't even recognize it by the time it's finished. So
great.
I've written 10 books so far.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on my 11th book. They've all been published by Simon Schuster and good publishers, but they all beat up. It was nothing. I couldn't even recognize it by the time it came out. So,
I sent it to the Dolores Cannon publisher.
Well, they may appreciate it.
We'll see.
If they don't, it's their loss, because otherwise you can just self-publish through Amazon. Now, with my 11th book, I think I'm just going to go through Amazon because I can't. I'm tired of being tortured by publishers. It's like
Well, the only reason it's editing is like, or hire an editor. That's kind of expensive. The editing part is the only reason why I haven't. That's why I'm going this direction. It's just easier. At least I could be wrong.
Well, you know, if Canon's publisher takes it, they'll probably beat it up a little bit, but it'll be okay. It'll be prestigious, and they'll have distribution with it. If you do it on your own with Amazon, just correct it yourself, because I can see that you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And just get it.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I think Amazon would be great, and people who are ready to hear it. The problem is that you're really cutting edge. You're so cutting edge. You're so out there. And I'll tell people, well, did you listen to Ivan Teller? And they'll say, yes, but I couldn't understand a lot of the concepts.
I know. It's like, I don't really understand it. It's like, great. I get that a lot. It's all right.
Yeah, well, you're not really paying attention.
Not really.
You're not letting it go into, you know, if people would pay attention to what you're saying, Ivan, they would be blown away. And
Well, a good amount of people understand it, the audience. So
I know.
Those are tuning in. I'm grateful for that.
Oh, yeah. I hear a lot of people calling in, and they are on board with you. They do have
mm-hmm.
a great understanding of what you're saying. I do listen mm-hmm. to your audience, and they love you, too, and they appreciate you.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of them. So
not
as many as will be in the future, but, you know, you're getting there. I mean, think about how – think about what you're talking about, what the information you're giving.
Mm-hmm.
I asked you before about the Tartarians. I mean,
yeah,
I've been learning a lot of it's like outrageous.
Well, yeah, that's how I feel. A lot of this stuff's just paving the way for the future, for future generations. That's why I feel like a lot of what I'm doing. You know, might not understand it now, but in the future they all understand it. Something like
that. But you're outrageous. I think the best thing about it, though, is that when you start, you say, "Welcome to the world of insanity," or something like
that.
Yeah,
something like that. Yep.
You know, and you're having fun with the information, so people say, "Okay, I'll pay attention to this."
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
And then you proceed. And last night, I think you said, I'm kind of tired. I'm just going to let the teachers or the channels,
the
whatever. I don't know what you said. Yeah, the beings take over. Are you going to rest?
No, I do that a lot. I just don't say it. But, yeah, when I'm tired, like, I answer questions at night, and I'm just worn out after that. So it's like, but when I channel a being, I get energy from that. So I get rejuvenation. That helps.
That's terrific. You see, that means you're doing something right. Most people who channel are drained. Right?
No, usually I'm pretty, I agree. Yeah. Yeah. For the, it's sometimes I'm like super wiped out at night. And it's like I still do a 30-minute channeling. It's like, and I don't think anybody notices how tired I am. So that's good.
I can tell. I pay attention to your every move.
Yeah. If I'm short, if I say, "How's it going, everybody?" Okay, here we go.
A lot of times you just say, "Here we go," and Ivan is tired.
Yeah, that means exactly.
But then, and then you say, I have to get this out, Ivan. And then you say, "I don't know how much we're going to get in because I'm really tired." And then you have this fantastic, brilliant session where you have like three different segments.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he said he was tired.
I know. Tell me about it. And then,
Really, Ivan, it's amazing because – go ahead. I want to hear what you said.
Oh, no, it's – I know a lot of stuff is probably – you know, I just have to be yourself. It's like, and you can't worry about other people are not going to understand it. It's like – but I do feel like it can get a bigger audience. It feels like it is being blocked by YouTube. I just can't let that bother me. Sometimes it gets to me a little bit. It's like – some of this stuff is just too out there, it seems. Like I did the Groundhog Day one. People are like, "What is he talking about? He's not even on psychedelics." Yeah, you don't have to be on. I feel like I don't have to be on drugs. I feel like I'm already on drugs.
But I thought that whole Groundhog show was terrific.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, when I was a kid, I always felt like I was already high on something. Like I didn't have to, because I had imagination. I can pick up on stuff. I was connected to other realities. I think it was fiction, but I guess it's all real. So it's like I was already tapping into things, but I always thought it was just for imagination and stories. But it seems like it's going into this direction instead of the fiction direction. So
I think
it's strange. Yeah.
No, I think it's amazing, and I've had. A similar problem for my whole life, but I learned quickly not to be courageous, and I'm not. Therefore, it really hurts your person. It hurts your persona. It hurts the work that you do out of fear. And right now, I'm going through a fear process, and I'm sorry to say that, but I'm backing down because I don't want to be attacked. Like last night, I was listening to Coast to Coast. I've been on Coast to Coast a lot, and you definitely have to be on. But I forgot the model's name. Oh, she's extremely well known, but she was talking about how she actually had a big case against Benanti, or the attorney who was with Trump, and she spoke extensively about how paranormal people are under the gun, how she can't admit to anyone what she does. I wish I could remember her name, but she's very well known, and the case was just settled, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and she has to be so careful about what she says, and she's totally paranormal, and they were using it against her. Avenatti, do you know who Avenatti is? He's the attorney who was just sent to jail.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
her.
Yeah.
What are her names?
Stormy Daniels. Stormy Daniels, yeah. Yeah, that was, I mean, first of all, she was getting all the attention, and then all the attention went to him.
Was on 2 hours last night, and I work while I'm listening, but she said that she has been 100% immersed in the paranormal, which they used against her during the Avenatti trial.
Hmm.
And they said, well, aren't you interested in the paranormal? Like, she was walking into a real trap. So that's how they tried to entrap her and get Avenatti off. But the judge was so intrigued with all things paranormal, it worked in her favor. Because people
that's
are starting
to see good.
This is
yeah.
what's happening.
That went the way it needed to go. But that's good for her because, geez, unbelievable.
It's also good for you, though. You know, I was very good for you. And very good for me, because 10 years ago or 5 years ago, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, yeah, we'll be all burned at the stake or something by now.
Again?
Well, you've been doing this for a while. I mean, you've been doing it. How long have you been doing this for?
Well, I wrote my first book, I don't know, many years ago, but I started doing readings. First, I was on a Long Island radio station for about 10 years, and then it was Long Island. It's New York's oldest radio station, 1240 AM, and they were bought by the Chinese Radio Network. So after I had a five-day-a-week radio show for 3 hours a day where I did nothing but take phone calls and do readings, I received a call from the Chinese Radio Network at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they said, "Hello, Joy." Yes. And they said, "We bought your station. Do not come here anymore." So they fired me. They were all Chinese.
Wow.
So at that point, I went to Blog Talk Radio. So
and that was, when you're in New York?
I was still in New York. I went to Blog Talk Radio, and I was on with my husband, for a long time. But Blog Talk Radio, say what you wish about it.
It's still hanging in there.
They're hanging right in. You know, it's like it's really great. So in answer to your question, I've been weird for my whole life. And yet I was married for a long time. I have grown children. You know, I have managed to have a sane – I was a yoga teacher. I still am for many years. I did yoga on television before anybody knew what yoga was. I did yoga throughout the 70s and 80s on television in a little bodysuit every day.
Funny.
And people said, they said, "What is yoga?" And now everyone goes to yoga. So what I'm telling you, Ivan, is that you and I are pioneers. And, it's like at a certain point, people catch up. You know, they'll catch up.
Yeah, that's my feeling. I mean, it might be a while for this all to catch fire. But yeah, definitely. What about the vibe in New York City? What's your like when you were there, or what's your take on New York City?
Well, because I'm from New York and I was born in New York City, I love New York. But unfortunately, I think it's holding on by its fingertips, and it's not good. The energy is so horrendous because of the political structure, which is going even further downhill. There's no protection. It's just not good, Ivan. I don't have anything positive to say about it at this point, but I'm hoping things will turn around, but I don't think so.
Not for a long time, apparently. Apparently the new mayor is not much better. Doesn't seem like he's much better. Guess we'll find
out.
I think he's worse.
Because there has to be, there's no grip on corruption. And
it's secret societies are involved with that, and they put in their people. You know, like the fraternities and these colleges, you know.
Yes.
They all have like their little groups, and they put their political people in. That's what's happening. So.
That's terrible. Wow.
Yeah, New York, man, it's just history. I mean, it'd still be there, but, oh, geez, it's amazing.
I mean, I spent my life growing up in New York, so I know how fabulous it is. The theater system is dead. The restaurant structure is virtually gone. I'm sure it's for a higher purpose, and I don't know what that purpose is. Perhaps it was just what you said, it's corruption. It must have its own destiny that it has played out its time until, I don't know why, I really did not see it coming back. So
well, it's
if
like
you
a,
have
it's
anything
like
else,
a reset. Yeah, it's like a reset. Some kind.
What does that mean?
Well, it's like the country, the world is being reset, you know, so I guess they're going to bring in something new. I don't know what's going to happen to New York. It's like they have to close out the old traditions for something new. I don't know what new is going to come in. You just don't want people there, it feels like. In New York and California, the same. In New York and California, pretty much the same thing. They just want to drive people out. That's the agenda.
I think California is in even more trouble than New York at this moment.
Probably.
I think they're both, they're both off limit, and I wouldn't go to either place. And I feel very Florida, but I would like people to tune into their own meditation and try to understand. Listen to teachers like Ivan who say, what he's telling you is like, at this time, it's not a great place to be.
Yeah.
And you have to be careful. Do you feel that earth changes are imminent, or do you feel that it's coming down the road? Do you feel that earth changes are a problem?
I think it's going to be a while. We're going through our own human changes. So, I mean, there might be a volcano that might erupt here and there, but we're not ready for a major change yet. We have to change first. So, I mean, I feel like this is going to go to 2025. So we have a while. So,
Ivan, tell me if you think I'm right or wrong. I feel this whole vaccination, I shouldn't say that word, this whole jab thing is probably going to go on until 2031, I believe, before the whole thing moves to the side. But you're going to see changes that occur within the next 3 or 4 months. There's going to be a definite improvement, but there's going to be reoccurrences, like it's going to keep rearing its head. So I think the message that I would like to give, and I know it's the same message that you offer, is that people have to do their homework. You don't just stick out your arm. You go, and what you do is try to learn how to take care of yourself. Don't go running to a hospital and say, sure, put me on a ventilator. Try to eat better. Do you think eating animals is wrong?
No. Some people need to for protein reasons. No.
I agree with you because I have Mediterranean anemia. So if I don't have meat, I basically faint and die. And I've been a vegetarian for many, many years.
Yeah,
so,
I understand,
The question is, Ivan, do you feel that there's karma that's created between you and the animal and that you have to ask the animal to forgive you before you eat them?
I don't think so, at least from my perspective. If you feel like you need to get back to that animal, you will in some lifetime. But, you know, because they know they're here to keep us going. So, I mean, chickens decide to be a chicken. They know what they're getting themselves into. So there's probably some kind of karmic connection that you'll heal that one day, probably. You know, maybe you'll be a chicken. If you ate a lot of chickens, you might become a chicken, you know, farmer, you know, or, you know, to take care of them, not to eat them. Who knows? You know?
Like you have a balancing collection of your soul records. That's right.
There's other ways of giving back, like doing work that we're doing, you know, to get back to the chickens, you be an intuitive, something like that. Who knows?
No, that's really important. Please repeat that and expand on that, because that's exactly what I was thinking. I had chicken salad today, and I said, maybe if I do more psychic readings, the chicken will forgive me. Is that true?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, it's like you do, you know, like if you had a life of just doing like in war, like you're doing terrible things in war, and you come in this lifetime to do like spiritual work to give back. So yeah, as long as you feel like you cleared your karma, as long as you feel good.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a brilliant brilliant answer. Thank you. Are we out of time, or can I ask you a question?
Oh no, we can go as long as you want to go. We can go for another.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ivan, it's an impossible question. I probably shouldn't ask you, but I wanted to ask you about Hitler. When Hitler crossed over.
Yeah. How did he cross over? The entry quest?
It doesn't matter how he crossed over. When he crossed over to the other side, do you have any feelings at all about what would happen to a person like that? Does he go through the same panorama and everything that everybody else goes through, or does he go directly into darkness, or there are so many choices of what could happen after a death experience. Now, in the case of someone who is out and out evil like that, even though he was probably here to do a job that he agreed to do, do you have any feelings about what would happen to him after death?
Well, yeah, I feel like he would go into the higher realms, but there are a lot of beings that, you know, obviously have been affected by him that are still angry at him. So, yeah, he has to deal with that anger from others. He also has to heal himself, of course. That son's going to be healing for a very long time. So I don't think he's reincarnated here, but, yeah, he connected to his darkness, definitely. But I feel like the light is working more than two. It all depends on where he wants to go. If he wants to go to hell, he goes to hell. If he wants to go to more higher, I feel like he's in the higher realms, but there's a lot of complaining about him. There's a lot of beings that, you know, are mad at him, obviously. So
it's very interesting. It's very interesting. Very, very astute answer. That was great.
Yeah.
So I had never picked up about the anger that would be directed toward him. Because I always felt that when they crossed over, hopefully they went into a more blissful place where they would not experience anger and hostility that much. But if someone like Hitler moves into the group, their anger would be expressed.
The souls that went through all this. I mean, I think in the spirit world, I don't know. People going to the spirit world, I don't know if they're always fully healed. I guess it all depends on your perspective. You know.
I wanted to ask you something else, if I may. According to the Tibetan Book of the Dead and the Tibetan philosophies, there's usually a certain period of time before people reincarnate or go someplace else. And you know, I had always thought, growing up as a Christian, that there were probably either you didn't incarnate, or like all those things were wrong, or that you would wait a period of time before you came back. Your soul would have to be healed. Okay, I have come across many people, such as my mother, who said that she was born with her head wounded, like she had just suffered a big wound in her head. She was born with a bleeding head, like she had just been shot in the head, and then she was born into a female baby body with a bleeding head. So we figured out that she had crossed over very quickly and come back very quickly. So that was very shocking to learn about that. You could have that kind of a quick return. Do you think that's possible?
Oh, yeah. Well, for her, it feels like it's World War One, is what I feel from her.
Yes.
It might have been World War Two, but it feels like World War One. Yeah, she got shot in the head. It's a vibe I get.
Yeah. Ivan, I have a very important question that I would love to know the answer to this since you're speaking about that. When I look at my right leg, I have a brown coffee mark on my inner calf and also on my midriff. Do you know anything about birthmarks?
Yeah, feels like an alien energy there. Feels like a gray, like an abduction or something. Feels like a something. At least one of your, like the war birthmark, feels like you got, like you're on a ship and you got a injection or something. Not a bad thing, but I'm not sure what it was, but feels like he added some kind of, maybe an implant. I believe it's been removed, though. Yeah.
I had implants in my ears for a long time, and they became so intensely annoying that I said to my guides, you have to take them out because they're interfering with my ability to hear. Mm-hmm. They were ringing very loud, you know, and they were intermittent ringing. And they said, well, we're using that for a monitoring system. And I said, I don't really care what you're doing. You have to take them out. So that night they removed them. I said, because I can't go on this way. And I've had a lot of people who have asked me that same question. But about birthmarks, it was very interesting that you said that. Many people have birthmarks.
Well, in your case, well, at least the vibe I'm getting, there's a Zeta. It feels like they're turning your energy down because it feels like when you're younger, your energy was very powerful. And so they kind of cooled you down a little bit because it was hard for you to manage in this reality. But that's the vibe I get.
You're 100% right. Absolutely. Because I grew up, as you did, in a family that was so anti-light. Against the light, they would not look for the truth necessarily. They'd say, "Well, look, the establishment teachings are such and such, and that's what we really should follow." So I grew up with a lot of that. So you're 100% accurate. Thank you. That's a very interesting answer.
Yeah, it feels like Zeta. I mean, it feels for a positive. It's just let's see. And I feel like a World War II birthmark too. I feel like you got shot in your other area, or either way, one of them's a bullet hole, something like that. That's what it feels like.
You're absolutely right. I also know that you can have multiple. You were talking, I think, about multiple lifetimes. You can live in many dimensions at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely.
Could you just expand on that a little bit for us?
Oh yeah, you can have it gets confusing because you got multiple versions of you on different versions of Earth. So you can be a version of you can be in World War II. Also a version of you here can be, you know, in a 1920, a different part of the world. Like in Italy in one version of Earth and in Germany in another version of Earth. You know, it just gets kind of confusing after a while. So
do you think that people can understand that or accept that? I do, but you think that?
Yeah, no. I mean, they're still trying to figure out past lives. Some of them are. we have other versions of us on other planets. Reptilian lifetimes or whatever you are. Not everybody's a reptilian in another real reality, but we just have at least probably tens of thousands, probably more than that. Other versions of ourselves and other realities. It just right now just focus on this one. Because people have alien lifetimes on other worlds and they want to go back to those worlds because they're less complicated than this one. So that's what makes it frustrating. But they're bringing that energy here on this world to heal this world. You know, they're bringing that high frequency here. So it gets kind of complicated.
Yeah. That's terrific. That was a great answer. That's terrific because it feels very, very right. do you have any feelings about hypnosis? Like when people use hypnosis to stop smoking or to avoid any of the addictions that they have, do you have any feelings about that?
Oh, yeah, I think it works if the person wants to be healed. If they want it to happen, they might do hypnosis, but they don't always want to get better, as you probably know. But I feel like the people you connect to mostly want to heal themselves. But, yeah, I definitely feel like it works for sure. And,
okay, so
you know,
no bounds. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad. I think it's probably – isn't that more effective than any other? It feels like it's pretty effective, what I can feel.
I think it's extremely effective, and it lasts. And I'm also a big fan of doing two things at once, acupuncture and hypnosis, either one or the other or both together. And the addiction problem doesn't have to be cured with other drugs. It should not be cured.
No.
They have the centers in New York where they'll give you all the drug addicts go in there to get more drugs.
No.
And that to me seems very counterproductive. It doesn't sound right. Like, you know.
Well, what about the modern pharmaceutical companies? Do you think there's a lot of Nazi energy there?
Well, that goes without saying. As a matter of fact, I lost something before that I wanted to ask you about Nazis. The fact that they're re-emerging, they're coming back. Their energy really never left. But they're manifesting more now through the drug companies, as well as there was something else. Not only the drug companies and the pharmaceuticals are definitely affected, but also like hospitals and centers of healing are not what they should be doing. So I wanted to – was that the question? I'm not sure. Was that what you asked?
Yeah. Well, like you're talking about the spiritual groups, you mean? Because they're always in the spiritualism. So, yeah.
Okay, that's very interesting. So does that mean that people, how would you know if a Nazi invasion had occurred on a metaphysical level in a group? How can you tell?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, some of these groups that are, I feel like are usually the larger ones. Of course, it could be smaller ones too, but the larger ones that are just conveniently huge, like they got a big following, they grow very fast. Some of them have influences, they have help to get as big as they are. So not all of them are under that control.
Okay.
But, yeah, the Nazis are so big on occultism. I would say they would use it to control people, too. So why not? Because that's becoming the new religion. More people are going to that direction now. So,
Can you say something about that, about why that's happening? Why is that becoming a new religion? Because the churches and the temples have all been shut down. And
it's just
old-fashioned.
It's people are looking for new things. The internet is seeing the new spiritualism that's out there. So they're just attracted to it. They want more out of their growth. So just more exciting. You can say it's different reasons. But it's complicated,
as you can see. Yeah, but if they did their homework, would it be as inviting?
Well, I don't know because, you know how people are. The majority, if it's all flashy and pretty and, attractive, they're going to fall. That's where they're at right now. So it's just like modern religion. Modern religion has a flashy sort of, some of it does. They're just going where they're attracted to.
Yeah, because it's shiny, but they're not using discernment then. They're not stopping.
They probably are not. No. Well, they're getting something out of it. So, I don't know.
I can't imagine. If you don't mind my asking, this is sort of more on a personal note because I'm with you so much. I'm such a fan of yours. But you had mentioned that your family, like my family, your family was even more, not against what you do, but more in aversion to your teachings.
Oh, yeah.
Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. My family, I don't even bring this up to you. They're just, like, kind of dead against it. So I have to keep it secret. I mean, I think my mother knows about it a little bit. But she's kind of like the opposition I'm going against. She has a lot of dark energy around her. So, you know, so, yeah, I feel like, yeah, my family's, they don't, I can't just go, I mean, I guess I could bring it up to them, but I'd rather not. So.
Because it would be too upsetting to everybody.
Yeah, because, I mean, I had an energy, my mother knows a little bit about it. I don't go off and tell her, but she, you know, she knows some of it. And some people, when they hear about aliens, they get a little bit afraid that their life here on Earth might come to an end. I got an energy hit from one of my aunts thinking that. Like, she got scared of the aliens. Thinking
really?
That her whole life's going to come. Yeah. And she's older, too, but, yeah. That was a while back.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
You know, I really do look forward to you writing your books and finishing them so we can read your books. And can you do it the easiest way possible? Like, just write them and contact Amazon. Well, I just publish them. And then eventually, you know, after they're written and you get them out there, which is fairly easy and inexpensive, maybe you could contact Canon's publisher at that time and say, can you take it? Because that happens sometimes. I've had that happen. I wrote a book called Calling All Angels. The company, on the day that my book was published and came out into print, the company collapsed.
Hmm.
So they called me and they said, we have all of your books here called Calling All Angels.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to the dollar store or to the dumpster.
Jeez.
So they said, you have to either come and buy them or they're going to the dumpster. So my husband rented a truck and got some money and went and got some of the books for me. So that was my first publisher. That was really very upsetting to me. The publishing industry is very, very bad. I'm sure you know. Then a few years later, the Adams Company came along and said, we'd like to publish Calling All Angels in soft cover, and we'll give you money. I said, ooh, that's good. So it came out again. And then I wrote Seven Steps to Heaven. Simon Schuster picked that up. They gave me money. You know, sometimes you hit it right. But on the day my book came out, Seven Steps to Heaven, they fired my editor, Simon Schuster. So that book went into the dumpster also. So I've had a lot of hard luck with publishing. Yeah. So nobody ever knew about it because if your editor is fired, nobody cares about your book. So I wrote a few more books after that. I wrote a complete book of numerology for St. Martin's Press. And Ed Casey came out with Why Am I Here? I walk around all the time saying, why am I here? That was the last one. That was the last one I wrote. And so publishing is rough business.
So they really didn't have any success with St. Martin's Press? Or
with St. Martin's Press, the Complete Book of Numerology was great, but it was supposed to be a standard book that was there forever. Like they would just keep publishing it. But then they hit financial hard times, maybe because they gave Stormy Daniels so much money. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened with Complete Book of Numerology. In that book about numerology, I wrote about gambling because people say, if you're psychic, why don't you win at roulette? So I wrote about my roulette experiences and my gambling experiences, which were minimal, but good.
Yeah.
One thing I discovered about gambling is that if you're in trouble and you buy a casino table, your guides will help you.
Hmm.
If you're really in trouble. Yeah, but not from gambling. We were in Nassau in the Bahamas, and we ran out of money because we didn't have charge cards and we didn't bring enough money. We were very young. And so my husband and I were stuck there for a few days without enough money and without any charge cards until our plane came back to New York. So I went to sleep, and my husband was complaining about being hungry. My father came to me and said, I'm going to help you out. He said, as soon as you get up, we were staying in a hotel that was part of the casino. So he said, get up and get Jack, you know, my husband, go down to the casino. He said, I'm going to help you win money. Well, that's good. Okay. So I got my husband up, and he said, what are you doing? He said, we're going to gamble. He said, we don't gamble. I said, now we're going to gamble. I said, give me $5. Give me $5. He said, I only have $5 left. I said, give me your $5. So he said, I trust you. He said, you may be insane, but I trust you anyway. So we went down to the casino, and it was 7 o'clock in the morning, and it was empty, except for a few croupier people who were there, and it was very smoky. It was very unpleasant. So we went up to one of the roulette tables, and I took my husband's $5, and I heard my father say, put it on number one. He said, I'll make the little ball go on number one. So I gave the croupier $5. I put the ball on number. Then she spun it around, and then the little white ball went in next to the number one, and I could see my father's finger kind of flip it into the number one place, and the croupier gave us a lot of money. All that money made my husband so happy. So he said, do that again. I said, no, I'm not going to do it again. I can only do it one time. So he said, I'll try. So he tried, and it did not work. So I said, see?
No.
So then we went. That was it. That's my only gambling story. It has to be
funny.
As far as I'm concerned, you know, when you're in trouble.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Trouble. You know, otherwise.
Otherwise, it wouldn't work. That's fascinating.
I mean, some people are able to. Did you ever gamble?
No, never felt right about it. Some people want the winning lottery numbers so they can help people, win the lottery and help people. It's like, come on, it doesn't work that way. I mean, some people might be able to get that to work, but majority probably not.
Do you think that if a person is going to win the lottery, they're told the numbers the night before?
Yeah, I know somebody through a person at work that won the lottery like 2 or 3 times. So
that's when spirit gives you the numbers, though, right?
Yeah, they were meant to do it. Yeah, there's some kind of soul contract with that. So
that's
I think
great.
They're always broke, though.
Oh, Ivan, you're funny and you're psychic and, you know, it's like, and you're going to have your books.
Yeah, the books, I'll look into that. I'll figure something out with that. We can talk about that afterwards. Interesting. So, okay. Yeah, we probably should close her out. So, yeah, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. I can't thank you enough. It's been so much fun, and because I do think so highly of you, and it's been really my honor to share this time with you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'll have you definitely contact you so you can be on again. So you're my first host, my first guest. Oh, I wanted to mention this to you. When I was going to mention your name, I got the name Grace. The word Grace has come through.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Is that a name you have?
That's my mother and sister's name.
Funny.
Have you got anything else about that? Oh, my God. Grace is the most important name to me, you know, as far as relatives. So my mother was so wonderful. I, you know, so psychic. So thank you. Is there anything else about that?
Yeah, obviously they're watching. Yeah, because I know your name. It's like I was trying to say it, and Grace is trying to come out. So it's like, okay, that's different. They're just they're working with you. That's all, you know.
Ivan, you just blew me away. What you just said was the most phenomenal thing. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
It's like so cool.
Make
that up.
I believe it. No, you cannot. No, there's no way. No. It was so weird. I was trying to say your name, and Grace came through instead. I was trying to, at least. So
yeah, my and we were talking about her too. We talked about her a lot, about all her warnings, like don't tell anybody you're psychic.
Yeah, that's funny.
So Ivan, funny. You're the best. Thank you. You're amazing.
Okay. All right. Yeah, thank you. Okay, I'm going to do the outro. So, all right. All right. Blessings, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll have another guest on. I'm not sure when, but we're working on it. So, all right. Have a good night. Blessings.